So the sermon today is not original with me. In fact, I don't remember the first time I heard this sermon preached. It was a sermon of my dad's. It's probably his famous sermon. Most preachers have a sermon they're rather known for. And the first time I preached it over 35 years ago, somebody in the audience suggested I ought to preach it at least once a year. I've not done that. I've preached it about four times here. This will be the fourth time I've preached it here. But I do preach it periodically because I believe its truths are one that I need and that I think some of you will need as well. Two Gun Kelly, it is said, was the most notorious criminal that ever lived. He was a terror to New York and to that area. It was said he'd just as soon as shoot a man as look at him. On one occasion, he was holed up, hiding out in his girlfriend's apartment and on the east side of New York City. The police found out he was there through a tip. They surrounded the building, and through a megaphone, they commanded that he come out. There was an exchange of gunfire, and Two Gun Kelly was wounded. He thought, mortally wounded. And so with a little stub of pencil in the back of a grocery bag, he wrote the following words: "Beneath my coat beats a weary heart, but a kind one." I want to suggest to you today that Two Gun Kelly had the problem that Dale Jenkins often has, the inability to see myself as I really am. I want to ask you today as we study together that there be no glaring looks across the aisle. You remember the first time you ever heard yourself on a recording device? When you were young, maybe you got something for Christmas, or maybe you got your first phone and the recording of you, and you said, that's not what I sound like, is it? And you couldn't believe it. Maybe you heard about the church that was making a new church directory, and they made the caustic error of saying, if you don't like the picture that's taken of you, bring it back and we'll make another one for you. And one lady had her picture made, you know, and after a couple of days she brought it back, and they made another one, and then a few more days went by, and she brought back the second one, and they made another one, and then a few more days went by, and she brought it back, and finally one of the deacons there was brave enough to finally say to her, "Ma'am, we're sorry, but we just can't take what's not there." The inability to see ourselves as we really are. So today, no glaring stares at your spouse, please. No nudgings of the elbow. This lesson is one I want you to take very personally, very seriously. I want to ask you honestly today an important question. Are you a kind person? Are you a kind individual? Do you major in kindness? Now, some of you think that kindness is just a word that we toss out there that's a good Christian word, and you know, I really don't have to think about it because it's not really that important a word. What if I was to ask your spouse? Is your spouse a kind person? Or your children, or your parents, or your students, or your employer, or your employees, or the people you work around? Is this individual known as a kind person? I want to emphasize to you today how important this attribute is in our lives. I went to Mr. Webster, and he said that kindness are acts of benevolence well bestowed. Those of a more poetic vein would say that kindness is a warm hand clasp of a friend, that it's the cool breeze on a hot day, that it's the language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see, that it's the chief tool in God's workshop, his most prized jewel in his treasure box. Charles Call said that kindness is when your mom fixes a peanut butter sandwich for you and puts jelly on it without you even asking. Went to the Bible. And the Bible talks about kindness some 48 times and its essentiality of us being who we are supposed to be. So today I want to give you four reasons why we ought to be kind. Now I find there are two settings that are most challenging for us in when it comes to kindness. One is to those we're closest to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, those that we live with and we interact with. Sometimes We don't think about being kind to those individuals. The other group is strangers, people we don't know, that maybe we're driving down the interstate or in a restaurant or something and we are rude or we're unkind to individuals. I want to submit to you today we ought to be kind people. It's not easy to be kind. I told you last week my story about selling my little red convertible, you know, and that caustic individual that bought it from me, you know, how we made that exchange of money. I gave her the deed, the warranty, the deed to the car, and she gave me the money for the car. And as she walked off to drive my little red convertible off and saw my new convertible that's not as little, not as sporty looking, she said, "Enjoy your sedan." I didn't tell you the rest of the story. Angie, right over here, Angie, if you don't know her, you ought to. Angie said, "You know, that's one step away from a minivan." Some people just aren't kind, are they? Four reasons why we ought to work on being kind. Number one, because God is kind. So what important is that? Well, the fact is, I'm striving to be like God. The shortest chapter in all the Bible, Psalm 117, "Oh, praise you the Lord, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever." And then Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious." The New Century Version says, "The Lord shows mercy and is kind, slow to anger, and abounding in love." And of course, Jesus' words that we should lean heavily on, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the good and on the evil, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." But God's kindness is best seen at the cross. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "In ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." But I would have known of God's kindness even if the Bible had not said God was kind. I would have known it as I look at his artwork in the autumn or the spring of the seasons. You know, God could have made everything bland and boring, but instead he gave us something beautiful to look at. I would have known it as kindness as I looked at the stars up in the sky at night and saw how beautiful they are to our eyes. I would have known of God's kindness when I sit at a table full of food at a big meal with enough food to feed a family twice our size. God is kind. Cold knuckles rapped against the hard door. A rather large lady opened the door and she looked down and there were two young children standing there. She saw they were cold and shivering. She rushed them into the house and set them in front of a fireplace to get warm, brought blankets for their shoulders, and went to the kitchen and made some hot chocolate and some cookies. She handed the cookies down to the little girl. The girl looked up at her and said, "Are you God's wife?" Well, you know, we're God's children. And when Dale Jenkins is unkind, I'm not like God. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 that I'm to be like my Father who is in heaven. I'm trying to be like God. So I should strive for kindness in my life. You know, you may be a great leader in your business. You may be very influential. In the church, you may be known as a person that is up in front of people. You may be a Bible class teacher. You may be an individual who serves as a deacon or an elder or a mentor to others. But if you're unkind, you're not the person that God wants you to be. The meanest woman that I ever met, I think, was a member of the church that I preached at one time. If you'd taken a poll in her neighborhood as who was the most unkind person, she would have won hands down. Her tongue was like a sword lashing this way and that. She seemed indiscriminate in her unkindness toward other people, even people at church. Yet she taught a children's Bible class. Are we kind individuals? Number two, I need to be kind because the Bible commands me to be kind. Now, I know that most of you here have a great desire to do what God's Word says. But sometimes we dismiss parts of it. Ephesians chapter 4 says we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. And Colossians chapter 3 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. The NIV says, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, we take a great deal of time dressing ourselves, don't we? Making sure what we wear matches, making sure that, you know, this tie or this shirt or this dress goes with these shoes or this goes with that. We take a great deal of time grooming ourselves, making sure we look like we want to present ourselves. I was talking with our parents last week and their child came in and they said, you know, that their child has reached that age where their little girl is picking out her own clothes. And the mom says, it's an adventure every day. But I guarantee that little girl takes a lot of thought in what she wants to wear every day. I want to ask you today, as you thought about what you were going to wear today, as you clothed yourself today, did you think about putting on kindness? You see, the Bible commands us to be kind. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, the Christian graces and the brotherly kindness and to godliness, brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness, charity. We're to add brotherly kindness to our lives as Christians. Is it true that some of us can act without thinking? We're like the proverbial bull in the china shop, you know, just running over people and getting it done. We excuse ourselves by saying things like, you know, well, I had a mission and I had to get that mission done. I didn't care who got hurt in it. As a Christian, you don't have that option. I know some individuals who led large Christian organizations who, because they were so intent on their mission, forgot to be kind. They failed in what God wanted them to be. How is it that some of us can talk without thinking, can excuse ourselves so easily for our unkindness, that we can run over people's feelings? I heard about one preacher. If I called his name today, you would know him. He said, I went into a restaurant. He was telling this story among a group of preachers. He said, I went into a restaurant and he said, I got very poor service. I told the waitress off. I asked for the manager. The manager came over. I told him off too. I got up. I left. I didn't even pay my bill. Did you invite him to worship with you? We can be big in this culture on demanding our rights, on getting our way about things. But do we think about how other people feel? How understanding are we of what other people's circumstances are, of what they're going through, of what they're experiencing? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on love, says love is patient and kind. It's not always demanding its rights. It's not always demanding its own way. Ever just, you know, blowing your horn and shaking your fist and then you drove around the person and it was somebody from church? That's not happened to me ever. Furman Curley tells about going to a restaurant one Sunday afternoon and down in Mississippi, in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, and he said, I asked the waitress if she'd had a good day, and she said, no, Sunday is my worst day. These people come down here about singing about how much they love Jesus, and they act like heathens. They're rude, and they gripe about the service. And then she said, they don't even tip. Are we kind in dealing with people that we don't know, that we might be able to influence some way in our lives? Do we go out of our way, or do we think, I'm too busy? And I got a lot going on today. I don't have time to stop and care for somebody that's hurting. I'm too tired. You don't know what my life's like. I've got so many responsibilities. They were mean to me. You don't know what they said to me. I just had a right to speak angry back to them. It's hard to be kind. We can use all sorts of excuses in our lives. But I want to remind us that God has to deal with those same people too. And Jesus could. You know, God could have made the sun shine all the way up to that bad person's house and stopped it there. He could have let the rain fall all the way up to that good farmer's, to that bad farmer's property line and stopped the rain there. that person that spits in the face of God and curses God, but instead God says, I make the sun to shine on good people and evil people. I send rain on good people and evil people. I'm going to bless people. And our responsibility is to obey the Bible. Number three, I need to be kind. Because kindness works. The fact is, kindness just works. I don't want to be like Seneca, who said that we should not give, or I need to be like Seneca, who said that we should not give as with honey on our fingers, expecting something in return. But the fact is, kindness will work anywhere you go in the world. Kindness is a universal language, and it gets the desired results. You know the story, you can all lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think about what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, where the writer's writing to individuals who are married to folks who aren't Christians, to ladies who are married to men that aren't Christians. And he says to these women who are married to men that aren't Christians, wives, be in submission to your own husbands, that if any do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives. So I want you to notice what Peter did with a little play on words there. He used the word twice. If any not be won by the word, not obey the word, that's the word of God, they may by the word, without a word, be won by the conduct of their wives. When they behold, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let it be merely the outly adorning, the arranging of hair, the wearing of gold, putting on the fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. He's not saying that it's sinful to fix your hair up and to look good. That's not Peter's admonition there. He's saying there's something more beautiful than that. It's the beauty of kindness. And that without a word, that's without you griping and nagging and scolding, but you behaving as a Christian should behave in front of them. Maybe you heard about the little boy who got everything he wanted, you know. One day the mom put his supper in front of him and he said, I don't want it. She said, well, what do you want? He said, I want a worm. And the dad said, we don't eat worms here. And the mom said, well, you know, we always give him everything he wants. So the dad went outside and dug up a worm and put it on the plate and set it in front of him. He said, I'm not going to eat it. The mom said, what's wrong? He said, you didn't cook it. Everybody knows you boil a worm, so he boiled the worm and put the worm in front of him again. He said, I'm not going to eat it. She said, what's wrong? He said, cut it in half. She cut it in half. Still not going to eat it. What's wrong? I want Dad to eat half of it. Well, Dad, you know, I always gave him everything he wanted, so Dad choked down the worm, and the little boy crossed his arms and said, I'm not going to eat it. The mom said, what's wrong? He said, Dad ate the wrong half. You know, some of us just are unpleasable. I wonder sometimes why we don't convert the world to Christ. You've heard the story, you know, about the preacher that was studying the gospel with a lady and went to Acts chapter 2 and said, the Bible says you're to repent and be baptized. And she said, my Bible doesn't say that. And he said, I'm sure it does. So he took her Bible and opened it up, and sure enough, she'd taken some scissors and cut that verse out. There are probably those of us in this room that by our actions and by our words cut out all the commands in the Bible that teach us to be kind. Are we kind individuals? You may be solid in your beliefs. You may be able to stand up for what you think is right. You are not true to God's word. You are not sound if you are unkind. Kindness works anywhere you go. We were in the Ukraine several years ago. And we ate in, there were 32 of us, and we ate in this little restaurant every day for lunch. The food was not good. It wasn't to our culture, okay? It wasn't what we wanted. And some of the workers got, after 3 or 4 days, to kind of complaining about the food and everything, and some sent their food back. And one day they brought us boiled squid. Now, I'm not a connoisseur of boiled squid. Perhaps you are. If you are, I'm sorry. But man, I tried to chew that stuff up and choke it down and did the best I could. And it was European eating, you know, so they'd bring us every day. They'd bring us our drinks at the end of a meal. And my way of getting through food I don't like is to take a bite and then drink something. So I was up a creek that day. Well, that day after, everybody was complaining. I took a minute. I went back to the kitchen. I peeked my head in. I said, I brought my interpreter with me. I said, I want y'all to know No, it's not easy to cook for these Americans, and that we're sometimes difficult and our taste buds are different. I want to thank you for the hard work you're doing. The next day we came to the restaurant and I showed up, and my table where I sat every day, there was an ice cold Coca-Cola. Nobody else had one. Kindness will work. It'll get the desired results. You know, we can make it a challenge. We can make it fun. I have one friend that she says, the challenge I have is every day when I go out, if I meet somebody in the public, I want to be the kindest person they've met that day. It'll work. Some people it's rather difficult with, okay? Some folks it's hard to get them to smile or get them to be a little happy. But I guarantee you there's stuff going on in their life that's difficult. And that a little kindness will go a long way toward making their life a little bit better. And it certainly won't close doors to the gospel. Number four, I need to be kind because of the good feeling that kindness produces. Kindness just makes you feel good. You want to feel rotten? You want to feel awful today and this week? Scowl at people? Curse at them under your breath? Be mean to them? Go out of your way to say what you feel about everything going on in our society, in our culture. Post every emotion that you have. You want to feel better? Learn to be kind. The president of Qantas International tells about one day driving his big Lincoln Continental down the road, and he saw a little boy sitting on the side on the curb crying. He said, I pulled over and I pushed the button on the passenger side and the window rolled down. And he said, I said, what's wrong? The little boy looked up and he said, nothing, sir. He said, but I knew little boys didn't sit on the curb crying for no reason. So I put my car in park and got out and went and sat beside him and said, what's wrong? And the boy said, my daddy sent me to the store to buy some items, some bread and some milk and some other things. And on the way down here, I dropped the money. I've lost it. And the man said, go home and tell your daddy. Understand? He said, you don't know my daddy. He'll beat me. He said, I took the little boy to the store. He said, I bought the items that he needed and gave him the change he would have had coming back. And he said, I bought him a Hershey candy bar. He said, I turned to walk back to my car and I heard little feet running toward me. I turned around just in time for that little boy to jump up in my arms and hug me. He said, I wish you was my daddy. He said, I must have driven 20 blocks looking for another little boy that lost his money. I told you four, but I want to add a fifth if I may today. A fifth reason we ought to be kind in our lives. And that is because kindness will come back to you. It just will. It'll pay itself off over and over again. Dr. McMillan, in his book a few years ago, None of These Diseases, one of the first medical doctors in modern times to write about this, he said many of the physical ailments that we have today that we're experiencing are a result of attitudes that we carry around inside ourselves. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I can tell you this. I think I've seen that before in some people's lives. They carry bitterness inside them and it gets inside them. It's like a root, the Bible says. But kindness causes people to flourish. It'll always come back to you. It'll always pay off. Now, I want you to notice today in this sermon, I've never said that kindness was easy. I don't think it is. It's a challenge to be kind in the day-to-day routine of life. There's a challenge to be kind in a day where other people have attitudes that are so different than ours oftentimes. There's a challenge to be kind in a culture that's so anti-Christian when we deal with so many people who seem to be outwardly anti-Christian. I didn't say it's easy, but it works. I don't agree with everything that Becky Burris wrote or said, but she wrote a little track a few years ago called A Better World Begins With Me. She said, one night I realized I didn't like the world I was living in, and I decided I'd change my corner of it. She said, I woke up the next morning, and before my husband got out of bed, I went downstairs and I fixed him a big breakfast and put it on a server, and I took it up to the room and I gave it to him and kissed him and said, good morning, darling. He said, what in the world did you up to? But she said, you know, he liked it. She said, when I woke my son up, she said, I went in the room and I told him, son, it's time to get up. I'll help you get ready for school today. Instead of hollering at him and screaming at him, get up, it's time to go to school. She said, that neighbor across the street that's always nosy in everybody's business and seems disquiet with the whole world, she said, that afternoon I made some cookies and I took them over to the house and just gave them to her. You know, it takes a little bit of effort in our life. Globally, it's said that we send 5 billion texts daily and that 98% of those 5 billion plus texts are opened. I want to challenge you today to join a 5 text a day challenge. I want to challenge you today to start sending 5 texts every day for no purpose other than to be kind. No agenda, nothing in mind, not wanting something in return, not asking for something, but just 5 texts every day this week just to be kind. And what if it became a habit in your life? And I'll tell you what would happen. You become known as a kind person. It would change your heart and you would become a kinder person. I look around this room and I know the heartache that many of you experience and have experienced the last several years in your life. I've had somewhat of a front row seat into it. There's hardly a family or an individual here that's not been touched by something that has deeply hurt them. And Carl, I must say this morning, as you were presenting your devotional thoughts, what was the lady's name? Shirley? Della. I'll call her Shirley, okay? Because I get names wrong. Della. You know, in all likelihood, there's someone sitting in this room today. And you don't know this, but please hear this. It's true that you are their lifeline. That a word or a hug or a handshake, shake, I can't say that word. That will keep them going. There's some that are on the verge of quitting. They're tired. They're worn out. And your goodness to them may be what becomes a lifeline for them to hang on. What if we determined that we were going to develop a spirit of kindness beyond imagination within this body? What a difference it would make. You're never too busy to be kind. Small gift, a letter that really needs to be sent. I ran across this one several years ago. Dear Mom and Dad, I've sat down many times to write this letter, but I could never quite find the words. I can't now, but here goes. I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. Dad, I remember when you took us to a football game and just as our team was about to score, I said I needed to be excused, and you took me to the bathroom, and on the way back, you stopped and bought me a Coke. That's not like other dads. I've been with Jims and Bills and Franks. Dad, I remember when we were back in high school, and you wanted to use the car, and you walked 20 blocks to work so we could have the car. And I remember when you came to visit us at college, and we were going out, and we said, Dad, you're not going to wear that old blue coat, are you? And you said, we older fellas don't have to impress the girls like you younger guys do. But as I think back now, I remember it's probably because you had two boys in college and you couldn't afford a new suit. Mom, what I remember most about you is you're always happy. We took socks and clinging underclothes for granted. But as I think back now, I remember that old washboard and how you labored over it, but yet how you're always singing. I just want you to know I love you. Though a couple said, we own our own house. It's paid for. We have two cars and a savings account. But we wouldn't take everything we own for that letter from our son. You can make a difference in people's lives. Today has not been a lesson about coming to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every sermon should be about that, really, shouldn't it? Because what we challenge you with today right now is to come to Jesus, the one who's offered you the greatest kindness that's ever been offered, the gift of the forgiveness of all your sins, the one who can take your life, regardless of how rotten it's become or how difficult it is, and can make you new again. Today, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to be baptized into Christ, to become a part of His body, of His family, where love reigns, where kindness is one of the kings. Today, if you're a child of His and you've left Him, it is very possible today that there are somebody in this audience that may need to respond and say, I've been unkind. I can assure you, you will be accepted back with love in this place immediately. But it's much more likely there are some in this room that need today to talk to your spouse or to your children or to call a family meeting and say, listen, this isn't how it's meant to be. I need to be better. If we can help you, will you come while we stand and sing?